Well, today we're going to talk about some news. News that doesn't get around. We're not going to talk about the escapades in Washington, D.C. What we're going to do is we're going to focus on prophecy. And let's take a look. Let's come to Mark 13, please. Mark 13, that's parallel to Matthew 24, Washington, D.C. But we're going to talk about things happening in the world that are going to affect prophecy. But first of all, let's understand that the prophecies at the end time involve all the nations of the world. And Jesus said that this gospel shall be preached as a witness into all the world, then shall the end come. Well, what does that tell us? That tells us just before the end that there is going to be the preaching of the gospel. A lot of people say, well, that's the two witnesses. Well, there's a lot to happen before the two witnesses come on the scene. And we'll see that we're instructed that we need to always be preaching the truth, be watching, doing the things we need to do. But come down here to verse 10, because here's something that I've covered before, but we'll cover it again. And let's look at how this is slightly different than Matthew 24. Verse 10 says, "And the gospel must first be published among all nations." Well, that couldn't happen until we had the printing press. And then that couldn't happen until we had translations. And that couldn't happen going to all nations until we had translations into many languages. And now it can happen because of the electronics and the technology we have today. I was watching History Channel the other night. That's far better than the soap operas on the general media. And they ran a two-hour special, the 101 most, how should we say, influential or helpful things that men have created. Number one is the smartphone. Number two is the computer. And then you go on down the line. So today, you know, just what we're doing with what we have and many other churches of God, other churches and businesses, are all on the internet. And all of the things that anyone has with the smartphone is downloadable into their smartphones. As a matter of fact, someone showed me his iPhone with the faithful version on it. Someone else showed me his iPad with the faithful version plus 15 other translations on it. Is that also part of publishing? Yes, indeed. It's also part of preaching. So God is not going to give himself a meager little minimal witness. It is going to be big, it is going to be thorough, and it is going to reach all nations, just like he said. Now let's tie that together with Acts, the first chapter. We've been there before, but let's go there again because we need to look at the situation the way it is today and how things are happening. Now we also have to realize, let's come here to Acts 1 and let's pick it up here in verse 7. But it's also true that this last generation will not pass away, meaning all of this must be in the last generation. Now, how long that is, we don't know. Are there overlappings of generations within a generational period? Yes, there are. But notice what Jesus told them when they wanted to know, would the kingdom come to Israel now? And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority. And yet men like to come along and try and tell us when the end is going to be by specific year or a specific date. Remember this basic thing that is true. You only know by the flow and sequence of events, not by a date. You can, with the holy days, have a little better determination as to the approximation of things, but we still don't know. So we've had those within the Church of God tell us it's going to be at such and such a date. We've had those in the world tell us it's going to be such and such a date. Latest one was Harold Camping, and he delayed it to October 21st. And yet he claims he's inspired. Well, how could he make a mistake if he's inspired? So he's done great damage to all Christianity, and I'll talk about religions coming together in another sermon. Then he told them, verse 8, "But you yourselves shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and unto the ends of the earth." Now let's tie that together with a couple of other scriptures. They didn't get to the ends of the earth. But with the Bible and the New Testament being published in all the world, it goes to the ends of the earth. And also another thing that is true with the modern communications that we have today, it can go to the ends of the earth, and it can be in the air going all the time, whether people are listening to it or not. So it can go out there. Okay? Now, let's come here to Matthew 28. Because Jesus even said concerning the day or the hour that the angels didn't know, and he, while he was on earth, didn't know. But obviously, after his resurrection, he knew. And we find that here, verse 18. You know, and this is another example of how we learn more from what we've already learned before. Precept upon precept, line upon line. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So that means at that time he had to know. But he didn't tell them, because they didn't understand how things really were going to be. Now, you can make statements like, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." Well, that is a relative term according to what you know. And if you don't know what it was really like, you really don't know how it's going to be exactly. I mean, he said they were marrying, giving in marriage, they were building, they were buying, they were selling, and so forth. However, that doesn't tell you the technology that they may have had. That doesn't tell you the population of the world, because you can figure that in many different ways. Now, someone sent me an email of a man in India who had 39 wives. I don't know if any of you saw that, but some of you may have. And he had 236 children. He was very active. Which then tells you, if there were many such people, within 1,500 years, you could have billions of people. And they lived long. It doesn't tell us how many children they had. It just said they had sons and daughters. Well, you could say that of this man in India. He had sons and daughters. Okay? Now, he also said another thing after he told them, "Go and make disciples in all nations." See, so I want to emphasize all nations, because that's going to be a key theme going through here. Now, this then could not possibly have happened during the ministry of the apostles, baptizing them into the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the completion of the age. And of course, they had no idea when that would be. And I think we're going to see, after we're done with the sermon today, there are many things that are going to have to take place before that 70th week, because that 70th week covenant in Daniel 9 with the prince of the people is the key when the last 7 years begins. And as I have mentioned, I don't believe the Jews are going to be able to start to build the temple until that covenant has been made, because there must be a covenant and protection for the Jews to rebuild the temple. And the Jews will agree to it because they feel that if they get the temple built, Messiah will come. Well, in a sense, they're right, but they've missed him all the years in between. Okay? So we have that. We have all nations. Look at what we have today. Everything is global, United Nations, instant communication, and who could have ever guessed the fulfillment of Daniel 12 and verse 4? And at the time of the end, many shall go to and fro. Everybody does. So when it talks of many, it means the majority of people. Knowledge shall increase. But who would have ever thought that knowledge would increase to the extent that it does today? That you can reach anyone, anywhere in the world, on a cell phone. And that's ancient technology. It's now a smartphone. See? Nobody could have conceived what the mark of the beast was going to be just by reading it. Even though we understood certain things of it, back in the 60s and 70s, we couldn't understand it. The Seventh-day Adventist said it's Rome enforcing Sunday keeping. Well, that has nothing to do with it. See? So there's another scripture there in Daniel 12 that says, and at the time of the end, the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. And they don't. But the wise shall understand. And the wise are those who fear and love God. Okay? So let's see if we can put together some things, because there are some prophecies we are going to cover. But when you come to Revelation, the 9th chapter, and we'll cover that a little bit later, it talks about the kings of the east. Now, that doesn't tell us very much, does it? And it talks about them twice. It talks about an army of 200 million. Now, I want you to stop and think about how large that really is. Population of America right now is 328 to 30 million, somewhere around there. That is two-thirds of the whole population of America. So that means that army is many smaller armies. And as we covered in the prophecy we did concerning Afghanistan, so we're going to focus some more on Afghanistan here, because right now, after the killing of Osama bin Laden, Afghanistan is not too friendly with the United States. Americans want the troops out of Afghanistan, and it's difficult to afford all of the wars that we have right now, and there's a great deal of pressure. And at that time, I said that I thought that the Chinese would make an offer that they couldn't refuse. I think that offer is probably understood in terms of what they're doing in Afghanistan now. What I said, they would tell the Americans, look, you go ahead and pull out of Afghanistan. Since we have business connections and mining connections here in Afghanistan, we will make sure that we keep the peace. And since we're friends with Pakistan, we will make sure that they don't use their weapons against anybody else. Well, there's a whole lot more to the story, because there's a lot happening in Afghanistan, and how can you, from the prophecy of the kings of the east and in Daniel, the 11th chapter, where it says the tidings out of the north and the east troubled him, that is the beast. That doesn't tell you very much. Well, there's some other chapters in the Bible that we'll go to that give us some indications. But it tells us a lot about the kings of the east. All right. Here is an article from, they cut off where it was from. The title of the paper is The. Looks like Wall Street Journal. With Afghanistan discussions underway about the future government of the United States about the future government of the United States in the country and the prospect of long-term military bases, Pakistani government has urged Afghanistan to distance itself from the West and tie its future more tightly to that of China and Pakistan, according to Afghans and Americans who are knowledgeable after a meeting between the leaders of Afghanistan and Pakistan. So it talks about it. There was mention of China in the meeting. China as a country, as an emergent economic power, and that maybe we should reach out to a new global economic power, said the Afghan official. Well, of course. As we looked at the geography of Afghanistan, what is the key geographical thing that they have? The Khyber Pass from Western China going into Afghanistan. Afghanistan has already made contracts with China for mining their copper, their rare earth metals, and their iron. And so China is building roads, railroads, going west. And they want to build these high-speed trains. They want to have two going to Europe. Both of them coming through the Khyber Pass, and then one going up north and west toward Moscow and then down to Europe, and the other one coming straight across right into the Middle East. And I don't know where they're going to go. I don't know if they're going to go through Turkey and then try and cross the Dardanelles or whatever they're going to do and then on up in. But they want to do that, and they have the equipment now that they can lay many miles of track every day. It is astonishing what they can do. Now also, they're building a pipeline from Kazakhstan, from the oil fields, going east to China. And in addition, they have concluded a treaty between all of the Menistans right up north of Afghanistan. You have Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, and a couple of other stands up there. And stan means land. Okay. They have concluded to build a mammoth natural gas pipeline down through Afghanistan, down into Pakistan, and on over into India. Now then, all of these nations are going to develop to a very high degree. So here's how the tensions have been. U.S.-Pakistan, this is a report sent to me. I suppose we were close to it. U.S.-Pakistan near open war. Chinese ultimatum warns Washington against attack. Now we're going to find out how involved the Chinese are in Pakistan as well. Any attack on Pakistan would be construed as an attack on China. Gilani, who is the prime minister of Pakistan, he said, full force retaliation to defend Pakistan's strategic assets. Don't let anyone draw any wrong conclusions. Any attack against Pakistan's strategic assets, whether overt or covert, will find a matching response. Pakistan reserves the right to retaliate with full force. No one should underestimate the resolve and capability of our nation and armed forces to defend our sacred homeland. Now, add that to that China says we are their allies and we'll fight with them. Then it talks about how some of these things were pretty well ready to go, but they shut them down. How many have heard of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization? Nobody. See, there are a lot of things going on and developing that we don't even know. You don't get any of this on the news. That's why we're thankful for the internet. See, we couldn't get this without the internet. All right? So here it is. If China stands behind Pakistan, then Russia might be said to stand behind China. Looking forward to the upcoming June 15th, which just happened this last week then, right? Meeting of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, Chinese President Hu praised Sino-Russian relations as being at an unprecedented high point with an obvious strategic ingredient. For what? Well, God is getting them all lined up for the things at the end. That's why. All right, in the press conference this week, Russian President Medvedev, is that correct? Medvedev. He doesn't have enough hair to be a bear. Was obliged indirectly to acknowledge that the much-hyped Obama reset with Russia had amounted to very little since the U.S. ABM missile program in Romania and the rest of Europe, so obviously directed against Russia, means that the START treaty is of obvious dubious value, thus raising the specter of a new Cold War. Given the NATO assault on Libya, there would be no UN resolution against Syria, says Medvedev. So what's going to happen in Syria? Now you think of all that's going on with all the Arab lands and everything that is happening there. Will they finally tame down? They've got to tame down enough to become part of a world government. But look what's been going on in Syria. They've killed over 1,400 citizens already. Putin has been right all along, and Medvedev is trying to imitate Putin to salvage some chance of remaining in power. Then it says, are we in July 1914? Remember what that was? Start of the First World War when they shot the Prince of Sarajevo. And if you get a chance to watch that recreation on History Channel, do it. It's very interesting. How far are the relations with China going? Not only getting the raw materials out of Afghanistan, and they want to also protect the oil that comes from the Middle East. So you haven't read this in the paper. Pakistan offers China a naval base on the Indian Ocean. Now that is of great strategic value. China's good neighbor, Pakistan, recently confirmed to the Financial Times that it has requested China to build a naval base at its China-financed southwestern port of Gwadar. So they have a big port there. Now they're going to make it into a naval base and hopes to see the Chinese Navy maintain a regular presence there in the Indian Ocean. How many Chinese ships have been pirated? Zero. The pirates are smart. They know the Chinese will come after them. And on the other end of the scale, I should bring out that Germany's doing a lot of unilateral things in Africa, especially in Ethiopia. They're buying up vast tracts of land and they're putting in palm oil orchards. And of course, that will put them right at the strategic place close to Somalia. How many German ships have been pirated? Zero. Now, continuing with the article here, Pakistan's defense minister, said that China had heard Pakistan's offer during Prime Minister Yousef Raza Gilani's visit to China last week. Now, this is dated May 24th. The visit, which was mainly aimed at strengthening the 60-year-old alliance between the two countries, shortly followed the killing of Osama bin Laden, which has increased tensions between Pakistan and the United States. So I think we'll be out of Pakistan. I think China will come in and create order. And also, they're going to have control of what then? What will China have control of in Afghanistan that they don't have now? The opium production and heroin. So watch out, Western world. The Chinese have a very long memory. See? And the British was about the middle of the 1800s, made a fatal mistake, though they thought they were doing a really great thing. Rather than fight China, what they did, since they controlled Afghanistan and they controlled the opium production, they brought China into the opium wars, remember? Drugged the whole nation, ruined the whole nation, clear up into the late part of the 1800s. China has a long memory. Now that they have that, guess what they will be doing? Drugging America and drugging Europe and drugging Britain. No, well, and Britain is in terrible shape. That's another whole topic. They have a terrible, terrible drought there. You know how much it costs for a pint of beer? In American dollars? Pint of beer, that's a little bigger than this glass here, okay? $8. So we'll save Britain for another sermon, okay? A senior Pakistani official described the naval base as something that will allow Chinese vessels to regularly visit in the future and also use the place for repair and maintenance of their fleet in the Indian Ocean region, which tells us they're going to be building battleships, aircraft carriers. And China has been smart. Every country that has wanted to use the manufacturing capacity of China to build things in China, they have demanded that they be given the technology. That's how they build their rockets. That's how they build the plane that look, oh, so much like the F-22. Remember that? See, there's a lot going on that we don't know. Remember, China has pretty close to 2 billion people. That's to say nothing of the rest of Asia. However, many Western analysts believe Beijing's long-term interest, especially its need for more energy in the Middle East and increasing its military deterrence worldwide, gives China every reason to desire an out-of-country naval base of its own. The base will allow Chinese military ships, submarines to conduct regular patrols and exercise in the Arabian Sea to protect an increasing number of Chinese oil tankers in the region. It will also provide China's anti-piracy operations in the Gulf of Aden with perfect port access through which it can restock daily necessities and swap staff as well as offer maintenance. Not just one. Pakistan people warmly hold China in its highest esteem for its steadfastness to stand by them. They hold such a poor view of America for its habitual exploitation of the nation. Now here's a little thing that they just brought up. If, despite spending $120 billion a year for the Afghan war, Americans have failed spectacularly to pacify Afghanistan, what feats could they expect from Pakistan even if they gave it $20 billion in aid? Pakistan and China have a long-standing relationship. When China and India went to war over a disputed area, so that's been since 1962. The Chinese have agreed to speed up the production and delivery of 50 JF-17 Thunder aircraft for Pakistan. This has sent a clear signal to the world that China stands by Pakistan. Are they arming? Are they preparing? Are they building? See, these things just don't happen out of a hat. Poof! And it's magically there. Okay, so of course the Chinese are going to buy U.S. bonds, because then they will use that as backing for money to build their military. Okay? Also, high-tech Chinese warplanes given to Pakistan. Instability and fluctuation of regional relationships have delayed the Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline project, which was to be linked to the two high-growth, energy-starved states, India and China. But they're working on that to get it done. So that's on its way. Let's look at some more. There are just, now, I've just read you some highlights. This is an 8-page report on this. A lot of other material. Okay? All right. We won't talk about finances because we've covered enough here on that. All right. Let's come to Ezekiel 27. Let's come to Ezekiel 27. Now, Ezekiel 27 is very difficult for us to understand, but let's realize that there are past fulfillments and future fulfillments, and there are types and there are anti-types. Now, we also know that this world system at the end is called Babylon the Great. Now, don't limit your thinking down to just Babylon of old or an alliance of Europe alone. Think of the whole world, all nations, all nations. That's the theme of the end. It's going to involve all nations. So here in Ezekiel 27, it talks about Tyre. Now, Tyre was the great merchandising city of the Eastern Mediterranean. But ships from around the world would come there. And in reading this, just going through and reading every word in chapter 27, and if you apply it to the modern world today, you get the sense of an end-time fulfillment. Okay? Now, let's just stop right here and see how we are all involved in this, okay? Right with what we have in front of us, okay? We have electronics, probably from Japan. The Bible was printed in China, written in America, on paper that comes from Spain, and shipped over here in containers. And I learned something about a partial shipment, because we filled up one container when we had our last shipment, and then it said the rest will come in LCF. LCF? What's LCF? So I asked Don Junovich, what's LCF? Is that some kind of boat? Oh, no. That means less than a full container. Or LFC, rather. Less than a full container, okay? And I think likewise, when we read some of these scriptures, yes, it did apply back there directly, but why do we have it in the Bible today? Just to show that prophecy has been fulfilled in the past, or is it also something to tell us that there's going to be a repeat of this worldwide through the great Babylon the Great? And remember, it was Nebuchadnezzar who was the head of gold, and then it was later Persia, and then later Greece that built up and Greece finally conquered Tyre. So it talks about this right here. So he says, verse 1, Ezekiel 27, the word of the Lord came to me saying, and you, son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyre and say to Tyre, you are situated at the entrance of the sea, a merchant of the people for many isles. Thus says the Lord, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect of beauty. Now, let's apply this not just to the city, but the whole worldwide system that is coming up. Okay? Verse 5, you have made all your shipboards of fir and so forth. And the verse 6, the oars of oak, boxwood from Kittim. Then it talks about their sails. Let's come to the next page here. Let's see all the nations that are involved. And it talks about those who were your sailors. Verse 9, the elders of Gebal and her wise men were with you, reinforcing their seams. All the ships of the sea with their seamen were with you to exchange their merchandise. Persia, Lud, Put. Now, Put is India. Were in your army, your men of war. They hung the shield and the helmet in you, and they set their splendor. Let's just expand this out to the whole world. All those areas that are mentioned concerning the final prophecies. Verse 12, Tarshish was your merchant because of the multitude of your wealth, with silver, iron, tin, and lead, and they traded for your wares. Well, what is China going to use and export from Afghanistan? All of those. Javan, Tubal, Meshech were your merchants. Those are all of the countries to the east. They traded to persons of men and vessels of bronze for your goods. And the house of Togarma, they gave horses. That's Mongolia. Remember the Mongolian Empire? How did they come? By the Mongolian ponies. And they were expert. They could go at full gallop and shoot arrows with tremendous accuracy. Verse 15, the sons of Dedan were your merchants. Many isles made the traffic of your hands. They brought you as tribute tusk of ivory and ebony. Syria was your merchant because of the multitude of your works, with emeralds and purple and embroidered works and fine linen and coral and rubies they gave you for their wares. Judah and the land of Israel were your merchants with wheat from Minnith. Some people have thought that Minnith may mean Minnesota. Who knows? We don't know. And Peneg, with honey and oil and balm, they traded for your goods. Damascus was your merchant in the multitude of your goods. And where, let's ask the question, was the trade from China after they opened the route to China in the days of Marco Polo? Syria and Tyre. And it went from there into Europe. Now let's continue on here. Verse 19. Dan, Javan also traded with yarn for your wares. Dedan was your merchant in precious clothes, chariot. What do we get? Where do we get all of our clothes? Well, they take cotton from Egypt and they send it down to the island of Mortitia and they make shirts. I'm wearing one, which I got at Costco. The island of Mortitia is way south in the Indian Ocean, 500 miles east of Madagascar. Now it talks about Arabia. So what do we have from Arabia today? Oil. All the rulers of Kedar. Verse 22, the merchants of Sheba and Rama were your merchants, with the best of all the spices and every precious stone. That's Southeast Asia, right? Yes, indeed. And gold they have for your wares. A lot of gold in Southeast Asia. Look at some of the temples. Those, what were the temples at? Yeah, okay. And Angkor Wat. Well, they used to have those things covered with gold. Lots of gold. Okay. Then it says, Haran, Kandi, Eden, the merchants of Sheba, Asher, Chilmad were your merchants. They were your merchants in gorgeous fabrics, velvet cloth, embroidered work, in carpets of many colors with tightly bound cords, cedars among your merchants. The ships of Tarshish carried your merchandise. You were filled and made very glorious in the heart of the seas. So here we have a whole worldwide trading combine. What is one of the main things that they have today for trade that all nations belong to? World Trade Organization, right? Yes. Okay, there are a lot of things. Okay, let's go ahead. We'll take a little break here, and then we'll come back.